Have you ever been both hot and cold at the same time? Maybe somebody asked you, hey, how did you sleep last night? Were you too hot or were you too cold? And you said, yes, I was both hot and cold at the same time. Maybe you had the blankets over you and so you were sweating, but at the same time your feet were cold. Or maybe in general you were too hot and you were sweating until your spouse put their icy feet right in your back, and then you're both too hot and too cold at the same time. There are a lot of questions in life that the answer, maybe it's an either or question, and the answer is yes. And the answer is both at the same time. Tonight, we're going to look at, I've entitled the message, Judge Not One Another. Or is it judge one another? Which one are we supposed to do as Christians? This is a really important issue. There are so many Christians that are discouraged in their Christian lives because they'll go to church and at every turn, people are jumping down their throat. People are judging them. And sometimes people are done with church. They're done with Christianity because it's all filled with hypocrites and everyone's judgmental and everyone's angry all the time. And so people come away with this question a lot of times. What are we supposed to do with this issue? Are we supposed to judge one another, or are we supposed to not judge one another? The most often remembered verse, the most often memorized verse by unbelievers is, judge not that ye be not judged. And what people mean by that is, you are not allowed to tell me anything. You have to leave me alone. I get to do anything I want and you can't say anything about it. And that's not what that verse means. We're going to get to that verse in a little while. But I want to talk about it. First of all, both sides of this coin. First of all, we're going to look at that we should judge one another. And we're going to spend most of our time tonight on not judging one another. But we should be judging each other and judging people and judging things as Christians. I just want to read a few verses here to show this angle. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15 says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, if you are a spiritual Christian, then you should be able to judge all things. If God has a mind on something, if God says something about an issue, then you ought to be able to apply God's mind to that and judge that, to say this is right, this is wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 talks about the future of Christians. It says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. God has called us as Christians to be able to judge and if we can't judge the smallest matters, how are we going to judge angels someday? How are we going to judge the world? We should be able to judge. By the way, when it says set them to judge who are least esteemed, it doesn't literally mean find the very least esteemed ones and judge. It means that all Christians, any Christian, should be able to judge these matters. John chapter 7 verse 24, Jesus says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So we are to judge, but not just what things look like on the surface. We're supposed to dig. We're supposed to do our homework, our due diligence, use the Bible, use the Holy Spirit of God, and judge righteous judgment. Judge the same way God would judge. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 12. This is a church discipline situation. Paul says, I've already judged. I'm not even there, but you tell me the story. I've already judged what should be done. The guy should be kicked out of the church. And he says, because he's a believer, 1 Corinthians 5, 12 says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without, unbelievers? Do ye not judge them that are within, or believers, members of the church? God says the church is supposed to judge itself. We're supposed to pronounce judgment and sometimes including disciplining someone out of the church. All that sounds pretty judgmental. It is judgmental. And that's God's will for Christians to be able to judge and for Christians to use discernment and to judge in the right way. So yes, as Christians, we should judge. But there is a right way and a wrong way to judge. I want to focus on some of the wrong ways that people often judge in Christianity. You can find these out in the world as well, but this is primarily talking about one another. In the body of Christ, are we to judge one another? And yes, we are to judge one another, but we should also not judge one another. And I want to look at four ways that we should not be judging one another. Number one, we should not judge one another when it comes to matters of Christian liberty. Romans chapter 14, if you want to take your Bibles there, I want to read an extended passage where the Bible says that there are some things that the Bible does not condemn that people reach in and judge each other over. So for Romans 14, won't read the whole chapter. I'm going to skip a little bit here and there, but I want to read a good section of the chapter. It says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." There are doubtful disputations that people argue about and judge each other over. And it says we should receive each other, but don't get together and argue about dumb stuff. And so let's look at some of the things that people would divide over. Verse 2, "For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." These are matters, these two issues we're going to look at are matters between Jewish law, and now you have Gentile Christians come in that are not under the Jewish law, and so you have disputations over it. Are we supposed to still do this? Are we supposed to not do this? The Jews would not eat certain types of meat, certain types of animals. They were unclean to them. But God says he has cleansed those animals. You can eat anything as long as you give thanks to God for it. So the Gentiles would eat anything, and the Jews would say, "Oh no, you're eating that. That's unclean." And the Gentiles say, "I love that. It's wonderful." And so it says, you know, one has a weak conscience. He doesn't know that God has cleansed it. His conscience is not built up with the truth of God's word, and so he stumbles over it when he sees somebody eat meat that he thinks is unclean. And so a really important principle, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Which one is right? Are they right to eat or right not to eat? They're both right according to their consciences, according to what they know to that point. And so neither one should judge the other. Don't despise one. Don't judge the other. Verse 5 gives another situation. It says, "One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks." The second issue is talking about certain days, feast days and holy days. And the Jews, according to the Jewish calendar, would observe all types of different days. And the Gentiles, that wasn't built into their calendar. They didn't do certain things every month. They didn't travel to Jerusalem to observe the Feast of Tabernacles and so forth. And one could look at the other and say, "Hey, you're not observing the Feast of Tabernacles." And the other would say, "Hey, why are you observing the Feast of Tabernacles? Don't you know we're not under that anymore? We're not under the law, but under grace." And they're both, neither one is wrong, but the devil wants to come there and divide over it and have judging and have condemning and despising and all of this. So let's go on and look what God says. Verse 10. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So the principle here is, don't judge someone that is doing something that the Bible doesn't forbid. And you say, well, it does forbid it, but in the Old Testament, and we're not under that anymore. People dispute about it. But if the other person would judge you for your stance, then the Bible says, be willing to give it up. If you eat meat in front of someone that thinks that that would be defiling, it says, why don't you love that brother more than you love your meat? Which for some people is a big thing, because I love this meat. But God says, that brother that Jesus died for, Jesus didn't die for that meat, but Jesus died for that brother. And don't condemn him. Don't condemn his conscience and have him grieved. Be willing to give it up. Paul said, I'll eat no meat while the world standeth, if it causes my brother to offend. The main goal here is peace, togetherness, unity in the Christian life and in the church. And don't judge someone for what the Bible doesn't condemn. Here's a good question to ask yourself. Whenever you judge someone, oh, he's doing that. Ask yourself this. Is there a Bible verse or a Bible principle that explicitly, directly condemns what he's doing? Or is it just your preference? Is it just that you don't like that? Is it just that we haven't done it that way, or my family never did that? Really, what's the reason that you're condemning that person? And if you can't take chapter and verse and show it, then just allow that person to live according to his conscience, and you live according to your conscience in God's word. And don't judge one another when it comes to matters of Christian liberty. We need to be very careful about taking our preferences and imposing them on other people. And there are lots of examples we could give, examples like women wearing pants. That's a really ruffle the feathers type issue for some people. Is there a verse in the Bible that says that women cannot wear pants? No, in the Old Testament, it says that women, that people shouldn't cross dress. Men shouldn't wear what pertains to a woman, and women shouldn't wear what pertains to a man. So God wants a distinction in the genders, but there are men's pants and women's pants. I've said this before. There are certain pants that if I were to wear them, you'd say, Pastor Daniel, what are you doing wearing women's clothing? So just pants are not necessarily a men versus women issue, but there are some people who really struggle with it. So if you're around those people, why don't you love those people more than you love wearing what you wear and loving what you love? And so there are other examples like this. But don't judge someone on matters of Christian liberty. The Bible doesn't explicitly condemn. Number two, don't judge where it's not your place. What do you mean where it's not your place? Well, there's some times and some people that you have no business judging them. It's just God's place to judge them. Or it's not the right time. It's not your place to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. There's a day coming, and you and I can get upset about something and judge someone. God says, no, don't judge anything before the time. God says, I'm going to judge it in the right time. What type of things are we talking about? Well, you can't know for sure if somebody's saved. You can see the fruit that comes out of your life, but you can't say, I guarantee, I know that person's not saved, because look at his life. No, you don't know that for sure. God knows it. And don't judge that before the time. When God comes back, that'll all be sorted out. And there are other issues that it's, you know, it's God's place to judge it. And don't step in front. Here's an example. We read this verse already in Romans 14, verse 4. It says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. There are some people that, should they be judged for what they're doing? Yeah. But it's not your place, and it's not my place. That person has an authority. Maybe it's just God. Maybe God is the master. He stands before God, and he'll give account to God. He doesn't give account to you or me. Or maybe it's somebody else's employee, somebody else's children. It's not your place to reach in all the time and judge them. Just leave it alone sometimes. And it's up to those parents. It's up to that authority. It's up to God. But don't judge where it's not your place. You have a place. You have a time to make some judgments. But you're not in charge of everything, and I'm not in charge of everything. Sometimes we just need to take a step back and give it to God. Number three, don't judge when you are guilty. When you have something in your life that is out of place, the Bible says it's not your place to reach over into somebody else's life and correct them. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. This is that classic passage that unbelievers have memorized. They don't have verses 1 through 5 memorized, but they have at least the beginning of verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. And there's that old saying, or you know, people walk around with t-shirts or tattoos that say, only God can judge me. Well, that's not true. God will judge them, but it's not only God that can judge them. But there is a certain time that we should never be judging people, and that's when we have a problem in our own lives. So look at Matthew 7, 1 says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote, or a little speck of dust, that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You see, it is not that as Christians we should never judge, but it is that we should never judge while we have unconfessed sin in our lives, while we have things out of place. He gives a little bit of a hyperbole example that, you know, you can't even get close enough to get the speck out of somebody's eye because you have a 4x4 that's 8 feet long sticking out and you bump into the guy when you get too close. It says, your eye can't even be seen. Why don't you get the beam out of your eye so that you can see clearly to see the speck? If you ever go to judge someone, ask yourself this question first. We already said, ask yourself a question. Does the Bible condemn what they're doing? Another question to ask yourself is there anything in my life that would disqualify me right now from being able to judge this situation or this person? Do I have unconfessed sin? Sometimes it's the exact same sin that they're doing that I'm doing, and I'm trying to reach into their life. Remember the story of David. He had sinned with Bathsheba, and the prophet Nathan came to him and gave him that story to illustrate what he had done to Uriah, stealing his wife. There was a story of a man who had great riches and wealth, and he had a friend come and visit, and to feed the friend, he went and stole his neighbor's lamb. That's all he had in the world, was that one lamb, and he stole it. And David was so angry, he says, "Where's the guy? We're going to put him to death for what he's done." And it's like, whoa. And then Nathan says, "By the way, thou art the man." But what an overreaction David had. The law never says anything about killing somebody for stealing a lamb. It says you restore the lamb fourfold. Didn't say anything about the death. There's enough death penalties in the Bible to add it to stealing a lamb. But David had his mind clouded. He had his spiritual eyesight blocked by his own sin. He didn't see clearly, and so he judged an unrighteous judgment. It says, first, get the sin out of your own life, and then you can have the right discernment to judge. But we have no business judging somebody else when we have sin in our own lives. So what's the answer? Don't judge somebody if you have sin. Don't judge somebody else until you judge yourself first. We need to learn how to judge ourselves. A couple of weeks ago, mentioned this in the Lord's Supper passage. It's a wonderful principle. It's a wonderful opportunity that God gives to every Christian. Because what we don't want in our lives is to be judged by God. Did you know you can avoid that? You can avoid God's judgment by judging yourself. What an awesome principle. It's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. God will not judge you and me if we will first judge ourselves. How long is he going to give us to judge ourselves? I don't know. We better get to it quickly, because at any moment God's judgment could come. But when we judge ourselves, we ask forgiveness, we correct our sin, and now we have the discernment to look at somebody else's situation. So first, cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Number four, the last thing we'll look at tonight, is don't judge one another without love. Never judge without love. How do you know if you have love? Let's look at it. James chapter 4 and verse 11, by the way, says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." So there are some ways that you can judge your brother that equate to speaking evil of your brother. And you don't want to point out his sin so that he can get it right. You want to point out his sin so that you can push him down. Sometimes maybe to make yourself look better in front of everyone else. So don't speak evil of one another and judge one another in that way. There's no love. Galatians 6:1 says, "If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." And it goes on to say, "Considering thyself also, lest thou also be tempted." One of the ways that you know that you are judging in love is that your goal is to restore that person. Now, this is judging. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, how do you know if somebody's overtaken in a fault? Well, you have to pronounce a judgment. You have to use your discernment and say, that person has done wrong. And some people, right there, you lose them. Hey, you can't say that person's done wrong. Well, if we don't know the difference between right and wrong, then what are we doing? That's what the Bible is for, to show us right and wrong. And then when we look at someone else and say, the Bible says right and wrong, and that's wrong, that's judging. But there's a right way to judge and a wrong way to judge. The right way is, that's wrong, and I want to restore that person to the right. I want them to be better. I want them to be helped. We are never to condemn someone without offering them help without praying for them to be restored. A similar principle to this would be when somebody comes to you and has a need and you say, depart, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful for the body. What have you helped them? Say, you know, I really hope that your situation turns around. I mean, I'm not personally going to do anything, but I hope that everything gets turned around for you. The way you help them is by doing something that makes a difference. And so whenever you look at a problem, don't just say, oh, that's wrong and that's it. No, offer help, reach out, pray, restore them in the spirit of meekness. The Greek word for judge that we've been looking at is krino. And it is translated in other places as vengeance, to condemn, and even to damn. And so it can be a very harsh word at times. And judgment must be tempered in the Christian life with love. The wrong kind of judgment seeks for the person that has committed the offense to be put down and thought of as less in your eyes and the eyes of other people. Instead of that, we need to correct the error. We need to help them to be restored, to grow. That's the heart of God when he judges us. God doesn't just judge us to condemn us, or else he would just toss us into hell. He chastens us because he loves us, because he wants to receive us back. And God wants us to be his arms in that. God wants us to represent him. We are called to judge, but four ways that we should never judge each other. We should never judge matters of Christian liberty where the Bible doesn't condemn it. We should never judge when it's not your place. Sometimes you have no business judging that person. Just leave it to God or leave it to their authority. We should never judge when we are guilty without having judged ourselves. And we should never judge without love. Should we judge one another as Christians? Yes. But be very careful the way you judge, because the way you judge, God says, will be the way that you are judged. If you're harsh with someone, God will. The Bible says, if you do it without mercy, God will make sure that you don't receive mercy from other people. And what goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. So if you want to be judged correctly and lovingly, then judge lovingly. We ought to have a heart. Don't just say, well, I'm on my own, they're on their own, let's just figure it out. No, we are to reach out and judge one another, but only in the right way, and judge not one another in the ways of the world, in the ways of the devil. Let's ask for God's blessing and God's help in this matter.